Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI with Brian Barrett.
All right, another hour to go. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to join us, that number is 617-779-7937. By the way, Quick note, real quick. That's very redundant. But nonetheless, the Nationals lead the Cardinals 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. Anibal Sanchez, 7 2/3, no earned runs. He's given up one hit. This guy signed with the Nationals for 2 years, $19 million. The Red Sox signed Nathan Eovaldi to a 4-year contract worth $68 million. He had an ERA north of 6, or close to 6, 5.99, I should say. And Sanchez right now, who the Nationals got for essentially nothing, is dealing in the National League Championship Series. But again, illustrates the ineptitude of the Red Sox organization. What do you make of Brady after the game last night, essentially saying when he was asked whether or not he thinks this offense is good enough, he pauses for 10 seconds and he says, "We'll see." And basically, over the past couple of weeks, Brady has been very negative. Brady has been very pouty. And I find that ironic because Brady's the guy that talks about what a positive person he is. And this particular season, Brady's been anything but positive. The only time Brady was really positive this season was the 11 days he had Antonio Brown. Ever since then, he's been whiny. Ever since then, he's been cranky. It's like when a kid loses the toy. When you take the toy away from your kid and he's whining to get it back. That's what it's like with Brady right now. He's whining to get a new toy. He needs a new receiver right now, and he's making it abundantly clear through the media. And I felt like Brady, for the first time really in the majority of his time here with the Patriots, I thought that was a lack of leadership, how he handled his post-game press conference last night. How do you feel if you're a member of the offense right now when you hear your quarterback react like that? Brady just has to use the Brady speak or the coach speak. You know what I mean? He's done it over the years. Yeah, we're getting better each and every week. We still have to make some strides here. We got to continue to get better each and every week. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to wait 10 seconds and say, "We'll see," to make it seem like it's inevitable that this offense is going to fail. Brady last night made the negativity surrounding this offense right now even bigger than it needed to be. He added fuel to the fire in terms of this narrative. That's why it was such a big story today, because Brady actually added to the controversy with the team right now. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Mark. He's in Brookline. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
Love your show, man, in general. Listen to you through the Red Sox season. Nice job there. Yeah, they did really stink. On to Brady, I think you're being a little harsh, though. You kind of answered the question. If you think he should just kind of, you know, I don't know, get the coach response. But I feel like we're, you know, Brady doesn't usually give, like, the complete coach response. I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous question. You think your offense is good enough? Everybody knows their offense is not good enough to the Patriots' standard. It's so obvious. You've been talking about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, Mark, so, but can't you phrase it in a better way than Tom Brady did last night?
Yes, he could. He could phrase it better, although I did actually go back and listen to it after paying close attention to your show tonight. I went back and listened to it. It didn't sound as terrible as you seem to make it seem. I do believe that the main thing is, it may be Antonio Brown, but I think he's more of a metaphor, which is, because I've been hearing this thread in this negativity that Tom does have. I just think you're being a little harsh, not completely too harsh, but that he wants a veteran receiver or a real dependable one. He had Gronkowski, you know, and Edelman, and he's had some others. And I think Antonio Brown, of course, he was like the lucky charm on that one, a veteran who's, you know, best in the game practically. But he really is dealing with nobody really established. And, you know, I think when you think of the analogy of the toy taken away from the kids, he's not a kid anymore.
Yeah,
it's not a joke. It's right. It's not a joke. And he really does, you know, when you have to play in the toy box, when you've been doing it for 20 years, and you know, if you just had the sense to get on a veteran receiver who could really help your game, you could really go places. It wouldn't have to be Antonio Brown, but they have no one.
Yeah, so Mark, let me ask you this. So,
yes, sir.
Do you think that there is a part of Brady that fears that Bill Belichick's not going to make that big move that he's hoping for, and Belichick's hoping to get N'Keal Harry back, and that's going to elevate the offense? Do you think Brady's fearful that Belichick's not going to make a move?
That's exactly right. That's you're reading my mind, you're pulling my thoughts out of my head. That's exactly right. I think, and by the way, you'd allude to it too. I think we're in agreement on this throughout the development of early season that, yeah, it's great to get N'Keal Harry. Look where he is, and he's going to be a junior player anyway. I haven't actually been that impressed with Myers except for this game, so maybe there's a little light there. But I just feel like they waited too long to do the one thing you wanted to do, which was replace a veteran, assured receiver. Okay, it was Gronkowski, not a wide receiver, but nonetheless, just to get some stature on that offense, that was number one priority. So they didn't do that.
Yep.
They kind of they messed around with him on the contract. They bring in Brown, and then the owner, who is so tight with Brady, over the years, lets him go. I mean, I don't actually disagree with it in all principle and everything,
sure.
But that's a pretty tough position when you don't quite have the offense you want, and you don't have a veteran. I think he's really going for just give me someone really solid to work with. I think he's acting out a little bit. I do think he's been a little weak, but I also feel like he's in a tough spot because Belichick never says anything. So he is kind of the spokesman in a way.
Yeah, it's fair enough, and I appreciate the phone call, Mark. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. The whole way that they handled the wide receiver position, or really in general, pass-catching entities, if you will, tight end, receivers, etc., the way that they handled that in general was terrible this offseason, and they almost got a break, right? Bill Belichick and company almost got a break because Antonio Brown worked his way out of Oakland, and they thought they had a break. They thought because they were in a position where they were going to upgrade with a guy like Antonio Brown that they were going to be fine. And it appeared that way because Antonio Brown, Brady was throwing to him, what, 8 times in that game. Threw it to Antonio Brown more than anybody else on the Patriots, right? His first game with Antonio Brown, he threw it to Antonio Brown more than anybody else. So that was kind of like the Patriots getting out of this wide receiver hell that they've been in right now because they got a guy like Antonio Brown, and then it's taken away from Brady. And Brady's now in a position where he's like, okay, who am I throwing the football to outside of Edelman? But because you saw again last night, in critical downs on third down, on fourth down, it was Edelman and James White. He doesn't have the faith in these other guys. Now, he's trying to do the best he can with Jacoby Myers, who maybe they found something in Jacoby Myers. Maybe he can be that type of player, but Brady wants to get somebody in here of veteran status. Because here's the thing with N'Keal Harry. People were calling last night, people were calling the night before when I was on, saying, well, they're going to get N'Keal Harry back. Does anybody really know if N'Keal Harry is going to be an effective player for the Patriots? Were you really up watching N'Keal Harry at Arizona State at 11:30 at night? Quite frankly, I never saw the guy play in college. I seen N'Keal Harry highlights. That's it. Now, we get all the reports from training camp, from the people covering the team, but you can't tell me you're going to depend on a receiver that is a rookie and he's going to play a pivotal role in this team. It's one thing to say, like, if Edelman was injured, it's like, well, you're going to get Edelman back in this week. Okay, you know what he is. Or in previous seasons, well, you're going to get Gronkowski back in this week. Oh, you're going to get Danny Amendola back in this week. Or Brandon Cooks a couple of years ago, you're going to get Brandon Cooks back. Okay, this is a guy that we've never seen play. We have no idea if this guy's going to be a productive player for the Patriots. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Steve. He's in Billerica. What's going on, Steve? Stevie?
Hello. Sir.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Hey, I don't understand the fans. This Patriots team, I don't think it's as strong as people think. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not no powerhouse, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's a great defensive team, and the offense sucks right now, Steve.
Yeah, but if you even think of that with the defense, it's no one can really define how a label of defense based on who they play pretty much in the quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're saying because they haven't played a real team yet offensively?
Yeah. Well, it's the same returning defense as last year, and they've only added the part-time Michael Bennett and
that's an issue right now with Bennett. He's up unhappy with his snaps. Not unhappy, just seemed odd after the game last night. Maybe you can get rid of his salary, but I wouldn't say that. I mean, you added Jamie Collins back, who's been exceptional so far this season, and Chase Winovich, the rookie, has been really good as well. So I would say the defense, Steve, is better than it was a season ago.
It probably is better, and it's playing well, but I wouldn't call it elite quite yet. That's all. In the offense,
you wouldn't call it elite, Steve. Yet. They're giving up like 6 points a game. How can you say it's not an elite group?
Oh, yeah. Well, but let me rephrase that. They are playing elite right now. But
okay, so you want to see them play against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Texans, the Chiefs, and then you'll decide whether or not they're an elite group.
Exactly. And,
okay,
and
fair
I mean,
enough,
of course,
okay.
I'm not alone with that either, Brian. I know that. I mean, that's
I'm not saying that's crazy, Steve. I'm just saying, I'm telling you, like, as I'm looking forward, I believe this defense is going to be really good all season long. They have arguably the best corner in the NFL, if not the best, in Stephon Gilmore. The linebacking group is incredibly deep, and the secondary is unbelievable. So I believe that's going to be a good unit all season long. I'm not concerned about the defense whatsoever. My concern is with the offense.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you think the offense would be if they lost Julian Edelman?
Oh, screwed, Steve. Who the hell they got a receiver if they lose Edelman?
Right. So if you think about it, he's a 33-year-old slot receiver.
Yeah.
Coming, you know, 2 years removed from an ACL surgery. I mean, that's not good. That's not a powerhouse team.
No.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to play with the big dogs.
Yeah. Well, they need to upgrade, Steve. And I appreciate the phone call. They need to upgrade at the receiver position. But I've always said, and you've heard me say it for the past couple of weeks, you can't build your offense, your passing game, around a 33-year-old slot receiver. I don't think you can build your passing game around a slot receiver in general. Now, I understand that Edelman was your best receiver in the postseason. He's been your best receiver for the past couple of years. But again, remember, people were game planning for Gronk, and Edelman's able to get his because everybody's planning and game planning around Rob Gronkowski. Now, when Edelman was the lead guy last year in the postseason, how many points did they score against the Rams? 13. 13, that's it. You need a dynamic weapon on the outside. You need a game changer. That's what you need. That's what Rob Gronkowski's been. That's what a guy like A.J. Green could do. Maybe Stephon Diggs could do. If you could convince a guy like Larry Fitzgerald to actually ask for a trade, although apparently, I don't know what it is. He just loves Arizona, apparently. He wants to go down as an Arizona Cardinal. Well, I don't know why you'd want to do that at this particular point in your career. Not to mention he's playing for an awful coach in Cliff Kingsbury that comes in with this like simple offensive scheme, an air raid offense that he thinks is going to take to the NFL. It's a joke. I don't want to get into complete digression about that. But you're going to need in basically a new guy to take over as being the guy with this offense. Edelman's a great player, but I don't want a slot receiver carrying my offense. You need somebody more dynamic in this passing game. You thought maybe you had that type of player with Josh Gordon. Quite frankly, he hasn't been that good. Let's get to Lou. He's in Rhode Island. What's going on, Lou?
Yeah, how you doing, Brian? Look, I don't blame Brady one minute. I mean, I don't blame him at all. Here he is in the twilight of his career. He wants to go out as like a great quarterback, and they give him absolutely nothing, and they got nothing in the offseason. You would think that even if Gronk was going to stay, I mean, Gronk was limited. You have to bring in another tight end, no matter what.
What do you mean by Gronk was limited?
I mean, he was injured all half the year last year. You think he was going to be in any better shape this year if he kept on playing?
I don't know if you're assuming that
I'm not
Gronk
talking about limited in his ability. He was limited in his playing time, and he always needed a lot of rest. I mean, it was that fortunately they had all that rest at the end of the year.
Right, but Lou, don't you think this offense, if Gronk came back, would be a lot better?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying you would still need another tight end to come in, at least get somebody.
Well, if you had Gronk, if you had Gronk, I don't think you need
I don't want to get diverted on Gronk.
Okay,
I'm just saying that they're not giving Brady what he needs, especially at this stage of the game. He is what, 42 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, the line is not that great.
And you can see,
I'm not going to talk about the defense. The defense really is good.
Yeah.
But you can see it when they played against, like, the Bills. You get a good defense playing against them.
Yeah.
And they're going to have some trouble in like a 20-17 game or 20, you know, where more than 25 points. They are going to have trouble with a good defense, with another team having a decent offense. And also the other thing is they haven't really played anybody this year. I saw some good games last week. They had, what was it, the Rams and the Seahawks, great game.
Yeah,
the Packers and Dallas.
Yep.
We've yet to see them tested against anybody decent this year.
That's true, Lou. In defense of them, though, everybody thought the Steelers were going to be at least decent coming into the season. Nobody knew that coming into week one, Ben Roethlisberger was essentially going to lose the capability to throw a football because his elbow was so messed up to the point that he needed surgery. But I agree. I mean, the schedule, it's been cupcake city so far. Now, you are going to have big games coming up in a couple of weeks. Now, the Browns have not been great, but you play them in, what, 2 weeks? And then you're going to play the Cowboys. You get the Eagles on the schedule. Of course, you still got the Chiefs on the schedule. You still got the Texans on the schedule. So in terms of, like, seeing how good this team is, you're going to find that out in a couple of weeks. Now, to his point about playing against the Bills, the Patriots have had, the offense has had run really big test in terms of going up against a premier defense? And how would you grade the Patriots' performance against the Bills a couple of weeks ago from an offensive perspective? Okay, from the offense, how would you grade that? I would give it a big fat F. They were terrible, and quite frankly, Brady was not good in that game. Okay, Brady was not good in that game either. Brady was not good. That interception was absolutely horrible. And if they convert on that, at least get a field goal out of that possession, it's a totally different game. But that really killed the Patriots in that game, that interception by Brady. I understand Brady's frustration. All I'm saying is it's not good leadership, right? For a guy that's been considered the best leader in the sport, it's not good for him to go up there last night, pause 10 seconds when he's asked about, is this offense good enough? And then he says, we'll see. Now, another thing I'd like to mention with Josh Gordon real quickly here is Josh Gordon, it seems like he's overwhelmed. So they got to simplify when he comes back from this knee issue, and apparently he dodged a serious injury, but they got to simplify things with Josh Gordon right now because that guy is an athlete playing the receiver position, never really developed as a receiver. So what they need to do, when Josh Gordon was really effective, if you go back to his 2013 season with the Browns, this guy was absolutely dynamic after the catch. We saw that a little bit last year as well. So I believe what the Patriots need to do with Gordon is get him some easy completions, right? Where Brady's throwing it to him near the line of scrimmage. Like, we see it all the time with Edelman, and I get Josh Gordon's a bigger receiver, but give Josh Gordon some opportunities to catch the ball in space and run after the catch. That's where Josh Gordon is at his best. He is a beast running the football after he catches the ball, right? In terms of he can make guys miss, he's tough to bring down, all that different type of stuff. And I feel like Josh McDaniels, and I understand he's handicapped with some of what he's working with offensively right now with the bad line, with the fullbacks going down and all that different type of stuff. But one thing that I think he's really failed with this year is they keep moving around Josh Gordon in terms of different receiver positions. Just keep him in one spot, keep the playbook simplified for him, and get him out there in space. Because right now it seems like this is a player that's lacking confidence. So let him do what he does best, which is run after the catch. So set him up with some opportunities in that particular arena, if you will. Let's get to Vince. What's up, Vince?
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good.
I do agree with you, though. They do need to simplify the offense for Josh Gordon. Do you think it's a possibility that the Patriots will trade for Emmanuel Sanders or Muhammad Anu, or they will actually bring someone else in?
Yeah, I do. I think they're definitely going to land somebody, Vince. You look at it, okay, so Muhammad Sanu, apparently Atlanta could decide to part ways with him. The one thing about Sanders is this, Vince, and you're welcome to weigh in on this as well if you have an opinion on this, but I look at Emmanuel Sanders. If I'm John Elway, I wouldn't trade him to the Patriots. Now, it's probably going to cost you like a six-round pick, but think about it. The Patriots and the Broncos went head-to-head, right? They were rivals for, what, like a 3 to 4 year window there when Manning was here or when Manning was in Denver? If I was John Elway and I'm selling off Emmanuel Sanders, so I'm punting on my season, I'm sending him to Green Bay who needs another receiver. I'm sending him to Seattle that needs another receiver. I'm not helping Bill Belichick and Tom Brady save their season.
No, I agree with you 100% because when the Patriots are loaded with receivers, you see what happened, especially trading them in the AFC. Probably not the best move for John Elway.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I appreciate the phone call, Vince. By the way, Jeff Howe from The Athletic, who covers the Patriots, he kind of put the list together of the guys that they could possibly go after. In terms of Muhammad Sanu with the Atlanta Falcons, you could see why they would want to move on from him because Calvin Ridley is going to be their long-term number two. They just signed Julio Jones to a big contract extension. The team sucks right now. They're probably going to have a new coach after the season, and Sanu is still under contract, and Jeff Howe is basically guessing that it cost, or not guessing, he has an educated opinion on this stuff. It'd be a third or a fourth rounder for Sanu. Sanu's a pretty good player, but I don't feel like he's the piece that puts you over the top. Right. What I feel like with Sanu in terms of what he would bring to this wide receiving crew, if you watch Sanu play, it'd be like patching up a leak, and then when you actually play a real defense, that leak would explode again, and you realize you're not good enough at the receiver position. So if it's me, if I'm the Patriots, considering what you had for a moment in Antonio Brown, I don't want to see the Patriots go bargain basement shopping again because we've seen them do it over the years, and we've seen Brady make a lot of guys look better than they actually are. What I want to see the Patriots do is I want them to go after the big-name guys. So if Stephon Diggs becomes available, and that could be a hefty price, that could be a first-round pick, and considering where the Patriots are, it could cost you an additional second-round pick because some other teams could offer a better first-round pick than where the Patriots will be drafting next year. A.J. Green, somebody that's going to be a free agent after the season if he proves he's healthy. That guy isn't as good as Antonio Brown. But for about a decade, the guy's been a top 10 receiver in the NFL. He would be a huge difference maker for the Patriots because everybody's got a game plan for that guy. Everybody has to double team A.J. Green, which opens everything else up for James White out of the backfield, Julian Edelman in the slot. So from my perspective, what the Patriots need to do, I don't want to hear about Emmanuel Sanders. I don't want to hear about Mohamed Sanu, any of these guys. I want one of the big guys. Diggs, Fitzgerald, or A.J. Green. Those are the three guys that if I'm Bill Belichick, I need to get one of those guys on this team. All right, a lot more to do. We will get into one big comment that Robert Kraft made last night that maybe this will help out the Patriots. I'll get into that. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 45 minutes or so right here on WEI. We'll get you trending in just a second.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mr. Kraft, when we were here last year after the game, after you guys won, we talked to Rob Gronkowski on the set. Obviously, he's not here anymore. Have you guys had any conversations about him maybe stopping back and, you know, getting the game in?
We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in, so we can always pray and hope. It's a little fact that...
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm glad I could tell you something you don't know. So you can pursue that. And when he puts his retirement papers in, although I think our kicker, Matt Nugent, he's already put his retirement papers in. So
even if he puts them in...
But that's a good academic argument that there is hope for us still with Gronk.
All right, that's Robert Kraft last night on the NFL Network's pregame show with Colleen Wolfe, and you heard Willa McGinnis there. So first of all, give Robert Kraft credit for patting himself on the back. He said that's a good academic argument for Rob Gronkowski returning to the team. Now, the other thing I'd like to point out there is he said Matt Nugent. The kicker's name for the Patriots is Mike. It's Mike Nugent, not Matt Nugent. And Robert Kraft last night called him Matt Nugent. The number is 617-779-7937. So here's my theory on Robert Kraft right now. So this is really the first time that Robert Kraft has upset both parties at the same time, right? So Tom Brady's upset with him that Antonio Brown's no longer a part of the organization. And Bill Belichick's not happy that Antonio Brown's not a member of the organization, right? That was a Robert Kraft move. Obviously, Brady loved Antonio Brown, and Bill Belichick wanted Antonio Brown to the point where he gave him $15 million, $9 million in guarantees, because he thought he was going to be a productive player for the Patriots this season, and he knew that Antonio Brown wanted to come to the Patriots. It's not like you had to get into a bidding war if you were the Patriots, and you still gave him $9 million guaranteed dollars. So Belichick clearly wanted him on the team, and Brady spoke very highly of him during his time here with the Patriots. So here's where I'm at. This is my theory on Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft realizes that he's upset not only Tom Brady, who he considers a son, he also upset Bill Belichick. So it's not even like he has one of the guys that's happy with him right now because of the decision he made as it pertains to Antonio Brown. So Robert Kraft realizes the hell that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are going through right now in terms of the lack of depth they have at the receiver position, right? And if you think about what this Antonio Brown thing did, it screwed the team over on the field in multiple different ways. Because, first of all, there's the element of, okay, you take out one of the best receivers in the sport, you can't fill in for him right now. If you are going to fill in for him, you have to go out there and make a trade. Now, here's the other issue the Patriots have, is from a salary cap perspective, and I get you can manipulate this stuff, but it hurts you from a salary cap perspective. And because you got Antonio Brown, you traded away Demaryius Thomas. Not to say that Demaryius Thomas was going to be this overwhelming number one receiver like Antonio Brown was, but at least Demaryius Thomas is somebody with a resume in this league and has played at a high level in the past, and it looked like he had his athleticism back after the Achilles injury in the offseason. So now the job of Bill Belichick to go out there and get a receiver of the quality that Tom Brady wants, his job is more difficult now because of what transpired with the Antonio Brown thing. So when you have the owner of the team, Robert Kraft, talking about the fact that Rob Gronkowski hasn't filed his retirement papers yet, I believe that Robert Kraft wants to get Gronk back on the team to take away from everything that has transpired over the past couple of weeks with Antonio Brown and take away from some of the bad publicity that this Patriots team is getting in terms of the offense and some of the negativity around this team right now that the quarterback, by the way, is adding to some of the negativity with this team and some of the questions we have with the offense right now. If you get Rob Gronkowski back, obviously, if Rob Gronkowski did decide to hypothetically come back, and by the way, I don't think he's coming back this year. But anyway, getting back to the original point, if hypothetically he were to come back, Robert Kraft could take a bow and say, hey, look, I got you guys back, Gronk. And you know that Gronk would give Robert Kraft all the credit in the world if he re-signed with the team. And Robert Kraft could take his bow, and that could be like him kind of making up for the Antonio Brown situation. So I believe that Robert Kraft's going to try to recruit Gronk so that he can make up for this whole Antonio Brown thing and make up for the fact that now the job for Bill Belichick to make Tom Brady happy, right? Bill Belichick's got to help Tom Brady with the offense. So in order for Bill Belichick to make Tom Brady happy, his job is harder now because of the dead cap number that is left behind by Antonio Brown getting cut by the organization.
Now, Brian, so, I have to stop you real quick. You were misinformed earlier. You said that Kraft upset two people, Belichick and Brady.
Yeah.
He upset three people.
AB?
Nope.
Our kicker, Matt Nugent.
Matt Nugent, man.
Doesn't even know his kicker's name.
He forgot the kicker's name. Called him Matt Nugent instead of Mike Nugent. By the way, he missed a field goal, by the way, last night. But I got to say this about the kicking operation. That's what Joe Tessitore said a million times during the 49ers game the other night. He kept saying the operation. Remember the Niners? They did everything right on Monday Night Football, but they couldn't kick. So what happened last night, Bailey, who was the holder, a great punter, terrible holder. He had the laces out for Nugent, so I can't even blame that one on Nugent. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I'm not buying the lack of receiving depth on the team, at least at wide receiver. I mean, they just played a game where three of our wide receivers were hurt, and Tom still threw for 300 yards because the other guys that were there, of course, one of them being kind of a little bit banged up, Julian Edelman, but the two rookies. And something that's getting forgotten here is they spent a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry.
Yep.
And he hasn't even played yet. And I think the whole reason that they went and put him on IR was just they had this roster crunch. And they figured, well, he's going to be missing the first few weeks anyway, so let's just put him on IR. We have enough receivers to get through. And when 8 weeks is up, we'll just bring him back. And he's waiting in the wings. And I certainly don't want to just be throwing him away because Tom doesn't like throwing the rookies.
Yeah, but Mike, and, I think part of it, I agree with you that N'Keal Harry, they're excited to get him back. The organization is. But I feel like the way that Brady's been acting, talking about the inexperience of the receivers, talking about the tight ends are trying, I believe that Brady is basically, not even like, you don't even have to read between the lines. He's basically saying that he wants another veteran. I that's the way that I take it.
Well, he can want whatever he wants. But I mean, I don't think that I think that the whole Antonio Brown thing,
yep,
was kind of like that was kind of like an opportunity buy where Belichick's little cost bang for the buck, machine in his head went crazy because he figured I could get one of the best wide receivers in football for at a discount.
Well, and Mike, and not even just a discount, the fact that you think about it, Oakland had to give up a third and a fifth round pick. He didn't have to give up a draft pick for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, with regards to this team, I mean, what they really actually need is a tight end. But, I mean, the thing here for me is I'm actually kind of excited, and this is a little outside the box thing. I'm kind of excited here that they don't have a fullback now, that they're going to be going out there, and I think pretty much a lot of 11 personnel with, just one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. And I think this is actually going to get the running game going. I think they were telegraphing a lot in the first few weeks of the season with the fullback, with the problems with the offensive line, with Gronk not out there. They really couldn't kind of get the blocking down the way they had last season. And you know what? Like, they're already starting to make the adjustment. Sony was like secretariat in front of all the running backs in the league as far as the percentage of the time that they ran the ball with him in the game.
Yeah, it was like 71% last year, Mike. 71%.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the last couple of games, it was 42% against the Skins, and it was 54% in this game, this past game. So they're already starting to make the adjustment here where, you know what, make them guess. Be more willing to pass. I think they should also be more willing to run when James is in the game. And just keep these guys off balance a bit to try to get this run game going. And you know, a key thing, too, is I look at Josh Gordon, I look at N'Keal Harry as basically being, both those guys are bigger than Shannon Sharp. You know, I mean, I look at them as potentially being kind of like small tight ends And in a running game with those two guys out there along with Julian, and hopefully they can pick up a tight end, or maybe the one of the two that we have kind of gets it together, they can start kind of like grinding up the field a bit using that size in kind of a novel way.
Yeah, fair enough. I appreciate the phone call, Mike. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. That is an interesting point about the running game. So maybe now that you don't have that great offensive line that you had a season ago, and now that you're down without your two fullbacks, maybe in just a more package of like a, when you're in 11 personnel, as Mike was pointing out, when you're in that formation, maybe it's going to make it less predictable for the defense to pick up what Sony Michel is doing in the running game. So maybe because you don't have that great offensive line with a bunch of, to use the football cliche, road graders, right? Trent Brown, he's a road grader. So maybe since you don't have that type of personnel up front, maybe having a running game that is less predictable than the one a season ago, because last year they were basically just, hey, we're going to line it up, we're going to run it down your throat, you can't stop us. And really, quite frankly, in the playoffs, nobody could. But now this year, they don't have that personnel, to Mike's point, and so the defenses are able to stop it. Maybe if it becomes less predictable, Sony Michel can get going a little bit. My one worry about this in terms of this current running game is the left tackle is a joke. I mean, Marshall Newhouse, that guy is absolutely horrible. That is one of the worst left tackles that we've seen in the NFL, especially with this organization. That guy is horrible.
And that's the problem, because the run sets up the pass.
Yep.
The pass sets up the run, and you can't do either effectively if your offensive line isn't giving your quarterback time in the pocket and your running backs time to read the holes right.
Yeah, and look, they couldn't predict that Isaiah Wynn was going to get hurt again, Brian, but geez, this guy, Marshall Newhouse, he's on his eighth NFL team. There's a reason he's been on eight NFL teams. Even the great Dante Scarnecchia, you can't coach this guy up. You can't. Let's get to Sean in Worcester. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
I would go after Mohamed Sanu. He would be a deep threat. And then I'd do a trade with Pittsburgh to get a tight end with Vance McDonald.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh's doing business with the Patriots.
Well, they might, because that.
Yeah, and Sean, I appreciate the phone. Sean, I appreciate the phone call. Sounds like he was sleeping there. Sorry, Sean, did we wake you up? I mean, you called us. I don't know what's going on there. You sleeping? I don't know what exactly is going on. But nonetheless, getting back to his point, Mohamed Sanu to me is not the guy that's going to put this offense over the top. Now, clearly, it'd be an upgrade in terms of what you have in the receiving core. But I want one of the big three. I want Fitzgerald. I want A.J. Green. Or I want Stephon Diggs. One of those three guys to come in, they can clearly elevate the offense. You have that game breaker. That's one of the guys I'm going after. Mohamed Sanu, great. He's fine. He's a decent player, but it's not going to be the piece that puts you over the top. It's not the difference of you getting to a Super Bowl. And a guy like A.J. Green, a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, a guy like Stephon Diggs, they can give you that opportunity to make that run that ultimately you want to go on. Let's get to Paul. He's in Shrewsbury. Paul, what's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, the offensive line is all banged up. We're having trouble blocking, and then they cut Ben Watson. I mean, why don't they either bring Watson back, or if I was Kraft, man, open up the bank and offer Gronk something ridiculous. Pay him anything he wants to bring him back, right?
Yeah, well, Paul, the thing with the Ben Watson issue is it felt like originally it was a money thing. If you just look at the salary cap for the Patriots is not great right now, so maybe they were trying to cut some salary cap space,
but,
if you will.
But Watson can block, too. I mean,
well,
you know
no,
what I mean?
No.
Like,
I'm getting to that point, Paul, is if you look at it now, Bill Belichick mentioned the other day on OMF, and he mentioned in his press conference, rather, I should say, he mentioned the fact that they didn't have a roster spot for Ben Watson. Now they do. Now they do. The second fullback just went on IR,
yeah,
right?
They have a spot. Right. Lacoste is out. Right, Lacoste is out.
Lacoste is hurt right now, but more importantly, you got more guys on IR, so you have an open roster spot. I don't understand
why
Ben Watson should be on this team. He should be on this team right now because you can't tell me he's worse than the tight ends that are out there right now. The tight end position has not been productive.
Exactly.
It's not like you're getting enough in the passing game with Izzo to justify his ineptitude at blocking. He can't block, so I would like to see Ben Watson back on the team.
Right. Isn't Watson an upgrade to Izzo and to a hurt Lacoste and to the hurt offensive line that can't block when he can?
He has to be.
These guys got money. They can pay him.
Yeah, no kidding. I appreciate the phone call, Paul. Good stuff. His line's open at 617-779-7937. If you just lined up a trash barrel at the tight end position, it would have done a better job basically obstructing a pass rusher last night than the way that Ryan Izzo went about his business last night. Because at least the trash barrel, you'd have to like move your legs to get around it. With Izzo, you just run right through the guy. He's not productive whatsoever in the blocking game in any way, shape, or form. So I would imagine they're going to reach back out to Ben Watson. Now, Ben Watson did say that he's going to remain in the area. because he talked about the fact, and I talked about this, I believe it was Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whatever night I was on, like right after they decided to cut Ben Watson. I actually feel bad for the guy. I genuinely feel bad for the player because he talked about the fact he has seven kids. He moved his entire family back to Massachusetts, right? He lived here years ago, but he was living in New Orleans at the time because he just played for the Saints last year. So he made the decision that he and his family were going to move to Massachusetts, and him and his wife had decided years ago, wherever he goes, the whole family's going. So his kids are in school for the year. So he's staying in Massachusetts. He moved his whole family here, okay, because he thought he was going to have an opportunity to hoist a Lombardi trophy with Tom Brady. They were locker mates, right? They're right next to each other in their lockers. Tom Brady talked about how he's a better person than he is a football player. Brady loves this guy, right? And he's sitting out there, and all of a sudden, he isn't activated for week five, and then he's cut. I mean, think about that, just from the human element. Because, of course, we're talking about the ineptitude of the receiving core and the issues they have on the field. But just think about that from the human element for a second. I feel bad for the player. That sucks. You moved your whole family across the country because you thought you had a chance to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, and then the team cut you. But now with the injuries that are piling up for the Patriots, I would imagine that they reach back out to Ben Watson and get him back on this football team because he can't be worse than what they're throwing out there at tight end right now. He can't. There's no way. He cannot be worse than what they're throwing out there right now at tight end. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. Plus, I do want to get to Rob Gronkowski's debut as a broadcaster on Fox last night and what you guys thought about it. We'll do that next right here on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
One slight concern we have is about you being impartial. You know, as an analyst, you can't play favorites.
What do you mean?
Tonight, for example, your old team, the Patriots, is playing. You might have to be critical of them. Is that something you think you can do?
Easy cheesy. I've been waiting for this moment my whole career.
All right. Well, how about you, for example, say something critical about Tom Brady?
TB12?
Yeah.
Easy. You know, sometimes he just throws, like, too perfect of a pass. He's got to let that receiver look good. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure that's exactly what we're talking about.
So, you know, he's just too handsome, too.
All right, so that was Rob Gronkowski last night. Now, that was before he actually was in New York. That was a pre-tape thing, and I can't defend that. That was horrible. It wasn't funny at all when he's talking about Brady. He's too handsome. He throws too perfect passes. Like, come on. That just wasn't funny whatsoever. So I give him an F for that element of the debut, if you will. But that's on Fox for having that scenario set up. That was a bad job. I mean, that was tough to watch. That was really tough to watch. But it did get better for Rob Gronkowski last night because here he was asked about his former teammate, Julian Edelman.
But let me tell you something about Julian. First off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Yeah. All right, see, I thought that one was pretty funny. I thought that one by Gronkowski was pretty funny last night. Now, if you thought that Gronk was good or if you thought Gronk was bad as a broadcaster, the number 617-779-7937 away. And Brian Barrett with you to the top of the hour, WEI Late Night. So here's the thing. The one thing I really like about Gronkowski last night is they didn't have him be like an analyst. At one point, he talked about George Kittle. It was horrible. Basically said the guy was good because he reminds him of himself. But all in all, for a debut, I'm not all over Gronkowski like most other people here are on the station today. Everybody thought Gronkowski sucked. I didn't think he was that bad. What did you expect out of Rob Gronkowski? Did you expect he was going to transition into being like Tim Hasselbeck, like breaking down the X's and the O's? And from my perspective, that's not what I want from Rob Gronkowski. See, what Gronk's got to be is he's got to be the Gronk persona. And I felt like he was the Gronk persona last night. Now, I don't know how you duplicate that each and every week. Now, he's not going to be on the broadcast every week, but I don't know how you can continually be that type of character on TV. But every couple of weeks, you bring him in for a game like that. I feel like he could be at least somewhat entertaining. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm immature, like that sophomoric humor that he has. I don't know. It cracks me up personally. I think it's funny. Maybe for somebody in like their 50s or their 60s, they're watching it last night. They're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Because maybe they thought, you know, a little immature. It's a little overboard for what I want in my football pregame show. But does anybody really enjoy football pregame shows on TV? That was different last night with Gronk. Basically, what it felt like to me is he was cutting a WWE promo. By the way, Fox has SmackDown, which is on, which is WWE, and it's on Fox.
It's maybe funny. It's funny you bring that up. I was gonna pose the question to you. Better chance he signs with the Patriots or WWE? The two most recent Fox signings, WWE and Gronk. And by the way, just to talk about your take just now, I'm with you. Fox brought Gronk on to be Gronk. However, isn't there a little part of you that he is the greatest tight end of all time, if not one of, right?
Yeah.
To see some insightful knowledge. Can't you have both? Can't you have frat Gronk and also...
You think he's capable of it, though? The insightful knowledge?
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying if he is, wouldn't you like to see a little bit of both?
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. I can see where you're coming from. That, look, he is the great... And here's the thing. Here's the thing they missed out on last night, Brian. And maybe he didn't want to do it. Here's the thing they missed out on last night.
He was also probably nervous, too, to be fair to him.
No, yeah. But he didn't look nervous when he was doing the WWE thing, because that was all preordained, right? They decided what he was going to say. They're going to say, hey, we're going to toss it back to you, ask you about Edelman. So he planned this whole thing, and Fox knew what he was going to do. But here's the thing where they missed out on an opportunity last night. The Patriots sucked. The offense sucked last night. He just played for that offense last year. Okay, so the number one question you ask Gronk at halftime, right? Instead of asking him about George Kittle, because Fox wanted to advertise for this game over the weekend, the number one thing you ask Gronk last night is the thing that's on all of our minds. As we're watching the game last night, it's 14-14, and then at halftime it gets to 21-14, right? And Brady threw an awful interception. The tight end was getting pancaked, right? The number one question you ask to Gronk at halftime is what? What's wrong with the Patriots offense right now, Gronk? You were there last year. What's going on with Tom Brady? What's going on with this offense right now? Like, he's the perfect guy to answer that question. He was in that locker room less than a year ago. So that's where they really missed out last night. That was a perfect opportunity last night to get Rob Gronkowski to weigh in on his former team and some of the struggles. So I put a lot of it on Fox. But in terms of going forward with Gronk, I want to see that type of character more so than I want to see the X's and O's guys, if you will, because I feel like that's what Gronk can actually bring to the table. But everybody was all over Gronk today. I don't think he was that bad. I really don't. I thought he was fine. And for a television debut, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say I'm going to give him an A-, okay, Gronk? Now, don't cut any of those promos again like you did before. That thing was horrible. All right, thanks to Brian for producing tonight. Coming up next, we'll turn it over to CBS Sports Radio. Scott Frill on the bench. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.